Fantastic. Vision Month. Who's been enjoying Vision Month? How was last week, our first Vision Family Service of the year? We were bummed to miss it, but we were having a great time at the beach. So today, in our first week, we talked about Strong One and what that looks like. Last week, we talked about Strong Family and the importance of strong families. And this week, we're talking about Strong Church. In the first week, I had a lot of fun celebrating our 10th anniversary as a church, our 10th birthday. And it was great for us to be able to look back and reflect on how far we've come and what that's looked like. It was an absolute blast. I loved being a part of that. And today, I'm actually even more excited. Because today, rather than looking back and reflecting on what has been, we're really looking forward to our next 10 years, what's to come, and where are we moving towards that this year. And so I'm really excited. I hope you brought your sunglasses to church today because our future is bright, okay? Someone needs to get excited. So today we're focusing on Strong Church. Let me just remind you of the verse that I read in our first week. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, this is the promise to Abraham. God says this, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great or a strong nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you," here's the crux of it all, "all the families of the earth will be blessed." What an awesome promise. And we know that the culmination of that promise, the completion, that maybe the climax of that promise was the coming of Jesus on earth. Through the lineage of Abraham comes Jesus, and he is the blessing to every family on earth. And so us in our role, we're on the other side of that. We've seen what was being talked about all through Scripture in the fact that it's Jesus. And so now we as the church need to ask ourselves, what is the role of the church? Why the church? Like, why did Jesus choose the church? Why are we what we are? Why did God's redemption plan involve his spiritual family, us the church? See, it moved from just a physical, literal lineage from Abraham. Paul teaches us that we are now descendants of Abraham through faith. So it doesn't matter if you can track your ancestry back to one of the tribes of Israel. It doesn't matter because you're now descendants of Abraham through faith, which means that we are now inheritors of the promise of Jesus to Abraham. And so we ask ourselves, well, God, what is the role of your church? You know, this year our theme is a church the world needs, the church Jesus wants. And that's been our theme over the last 3 weeks and will be our theme again next week as we wrap up Vision Month. But what kind of church does Jesus want? We see in Matthew chapter 16 kind of the introduction of this idea of Jesus' following that we now commonly refer to as the church. He asks Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter replies, you know, some people say this, some people say that. And he says, "Well, who do you say I am?" And he says, "Well, I say you're the Son of the living God." And Jesus is so excited about this revelation. He says that man has not given you this revelation, but it's come from God. And he says this, "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Ecclesia is the word that he uses there for church. It's kind of like, if you were to translate it literally, it's like assembly or congregation. Think of it as a following. You know how today following is very important. Like if you have a following, you're someone of importance. There's kind of been this battle at the top of Instagram, who can have the most followers. I think The Rock was the most followers at one point, deservedly so, I think we can all agree. A following is really important, and people will do just about anything to get a following. Because a following means more supporters, more money. This is how you make a living. And the dream, right, is to live in Byron Bay and just to be like an influencer and everybody pays for your Avo on toast because you look amazing and you have an amazing house and you dress amazing clothes. And because of all of those things, you have a following, right? And so nobody would do what Jesus did to get a great following. He literally did what people did to lose their following, right? To go and die on a cross, a shameful death, is like what you would do if, like that, that's what would cause all of your following to go, nope, not anymore. In fact, before that happens, Jesus says to his followers, if you want to follow me, you need to pick up your cross and carry it. Now, he hadn't even been crucified yet, so they probably didn't even fully understand what he was talking about, but they understood what a cross was. They understood crucifixion. But he says, on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell or the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. It's his redemption plan. It's the outworking of the final promise of Abraham that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And the vehicle he uses is his following, his church. And so we gather here today because we live around this area and we are the followers of Jesus. And so we come and we worship him and we read about his words so that we can follow him better. And that's, you know, that's what I love about church. You know, our church, this, right, is for those who follow Jesus. When we come together and we worship and we read the word, it's for those who follow Jesus. And I'm not saying that we exclude this service to anyone that doesn't follow Jesus. We're not checking name tags out the front of the doors. But we don't cater this service to the lost. And you might have noticed, having been here for a while, that it's very rare that we would ever ask people to put their hands up if they don't know Jesus and want a relationship with him. And it's not because we're against that. It's just because the way that we cater our services isn't towards that. What we cater our services towards is for the believers to come together and encourage one another and worship God and fellowship and go out into their world and do that. You see, if we teach people what it means to be a follower of Jesus, they'll be in church. If we just try and get as many people into church as possible, they're not necessarily going to be a follower of Jesus. It's that saying, right? If you make disciples, you'll get the church. If you build a church, you'll rarely get disciples. And so Jesus' whole entire mission rested on his church, so much so that he leaves. Shortly after his proclamation of his church being his redemption plan, he's killed, crucified. And 50 days later, Pentecost births the church, really. Jesus did all the preparatory work and Pentecost births the church and sends it out. And so the people of God shifted, as I said before, from a lineage to a faith. And now we're a part of the family of God, which we talked about last week, you know, the importance of family. And so as those families, nuclear and not nuclear families, gather together in a certain place, we find a church. This is why our vision is strong one, strong family, strong church, strong nation. Because for us to be a strong church, we need to have strong ones. And for us to be a strong church, we need the strong ones to have strong families. And when you have strong ones and strong families, you can't help but have a strong church. It's innately in the DNA of a church that as its families become strong, so does it become strong. And there's this idea of the gathered and scattered. I don't know if this was mentioned last week or not. But you know, the church, they gather. We gather here on a Sunday and then we scatter into our families and individuals and our ones. And then we gather and we scatter. And there is this strength in this going back and forward between us gathering together and us scattering out to the world. We gather together and we scatter out into the world. In fact, we see this through Acts that they have times of gathering together and they have times of scattering. And Jesus told them, you know, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? And they stayed there until they were forced to scatter. And it was important for them to scatter. And it's important for us to gather as well. You know, I think that the detriment of our modern day church is this. We don't meet in homes. And let me explain that, because I'm not necessarily saying that we need to end the lease with Ellison Public School and start going home church style, right? But a church that doesn't meet in homes doesn't thrive. And what I mean by that is we should be in and out of each other's homes all the time. A strong church is interconnected. We have so much more in common than just a Sunday service. And when we're in each other's homes and we're a part of what each other are doing, and we understand the need that's going on in each other's lives, and we can hear the testimonies about what God's doing in people's lives, and we're encouraging one another, there is something so good about that. And the benefit of the first century church is they had to do it in homes, and so they were in each other's homes all the time. And we miss that because we don't have to be in homes, but let me tell you, church, we have to be in homes. We can do this and it will feel nice until we die. And we might not make any impact. You know, I talked in the first week about the importance of the church is, actually maybe I'm talking about it this week, I can't remember. The importance of the church is that first and foremost that we are here for one another. That was kind of mentioned a little bit briefly last week about how the church kind of replaced family when that was necessary. And we're here for one another. We support one another. In fact, primarily the church supports one another. It is the vehicle for the redemption of the world that Jesus uses, right? But primarily we support one another. And when we do that really well, then we are empowered and strong to go and do the mission of the church. It's like, have you ever been so sick you can't look after your kids? It's terrible, right? Like it's the worst, and it's even worse when your kids are also sick. And it's even worse when you're the only one home. And let me tell you, a parent who cannot look after their kids because of how sick they are is not an effective parent. And a church that cannot look after the world around them and bless them because they aren't healthy and strong isn't good. We need to be healthy. We need to be strong. Amen? Fantastic. There's the scattered and there's the gathered. We need to be strong gathered. We need to be strong scattered. Hey, just because you're scattered doesn't mean you're out of relationship with one another. And so I want to go back to that story of Jesus where he's talking to Peter about who do men say that I am. And there's some significance here. I don't want to go into full depth. I could preach an hour about the significance of this verse. But he says at the end of that verse, right, so Peter has the revelation that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He is the unique Son of God. Like this is really important. And where he is standing is like right at this place of worship of demons. And it was literally nicknamed the gates of Hades. And in Jewish tradition, this is where like Satan and his demons are cast down to earth. This is the spot. And in the Roman or the Greek tradition, this is like a gateway to the underworld, okay? So this is just like a bad juju kind of place, right? And this is also the same place after this verse where Jesus ascends the mountain and it's the Mount of Transfiguration, right? This is like at the bottom of this mountain is where this happens. And so when Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against it, this is kind of like an act of war against the evil spiritual, you know, whatever you want to call them. The enemies in the spiritual realm. This is an act of war against them. And he says, and you won't even prevail against it. It's no wonder why they crucify him like a week later, right? They had to get rid of him. They knew who Jesus was. They had to get rid of him. And so we now know that, you know, the church is so much more than just a nice social club. It's actually the redemption of the world. It's the representation of Jesus on earth. Have you considered the fact that you are a representative of Jesus on earth? And the fact that you don't do that well unless you're with the rest of the church? 1 Corinthians 12 says this, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You're a member of the body of Christ. So Jesus' vehicle, the church for redemption of the world, didn't fully involve him leaving. He's actually still here. And he's here inside you. He's here in the shape of you. I think this is really what it means to be an image of God, but to bear the image of God, is that we bear the representation of God in our current context. So I talked about how we're, you know, as a church, we support the local believers. We support one another. We should be making meals for one another when we need them. Ellen, what a great testimony you had earlier. We should be there for big moments. We should be able to babysit when people need babysitting. We support one another. When people are going through hard times or going through persecution, we're there to uplift and encourage and support one another. But additionally to that, we create a community presence. A really significant community presence. Why does Jesus want a strong church? Not for the sake of being strong. I like working out. I like going to the gym. I don't do it just because I like to be strong. I like the physical aspects of what that allows me to do with my kids and keeping up with them and all those sort of things. Those things are far more important to me. And working out at the gym, while I do have a bit of fun with it, there's the ends justifying the means of me doing it, right? Because I want to be able to do all those other things, apart from the fact that I'm incredibly sore from wakeboarding this week and apparently the gym was useless. The church isn't strong just because it wants to be strong. The church is strong to serve a purpose, and the purpose of the church is to bless all the families of the earth. We're strong in three ways. We support the community in three ways. We support them physically. Over the next 5 years, I want us to have an up and running community services based in the mountains. And for us to be able to do that, we're going to need a building. And so we're believing in faith that God's going to provide a way for us to have a building. Church, I've not forgotten about the building. I'm still praying all the time about the building. We're still looking for opportunities all the time about the building. And at Hawkesbury, their renovations are coming to a close soon, which is really exciting. I don't know if you've been there recently. It's starting to really take shape. I don't know if the cafe's opened or it's about to open. And they've still got some work to do. They're hoping to be finished this year. When that finishes, the attention of the finances of Strong Nation can stop being looking at the renovation of Hawkesbury's building, and it becomes totally fixated on the purchasing of our building. And let me tell you, Pastor Rick is probably more passionate about this than I am. Okay, so you have the support of the entire church. You know, when we did our building offering, when we took up an offering for the building, that is in a separate account, by the way. It's set aside for our building. It's still there. It's still accumulating, and we're still going to use that for the building. Did you know that 50% of the money that came in for that, actually I think it was a little bit above 50%, came from Hawkesbury? Isn't that really cool? You know, they planted us. They sent people to come pastor here and to come, you know, do all of that stuff. And now they're still supporting us. And I just think that's really cool. Anyway, back to community presence. I want us to have, within the next 5 years, a community service running based in the mountains. We already have some stuff down at Hawkesbury that can support the mountains. I want it to be based in the mountains. Because when we physically meet need in a community, we physically do the blessing of others, the fulfilling of the promise of Abraham, and we are the hands and feet of Jesus doing the work that the body of Jesus would do, right? I think it's really important. So physically, we're going to do that. We meet needs. And that really supports us emotionally. I think perhaps in the mountains, certainly greater than Hawkesbury, there is a need for emotional support above physical support. Maybe not always, maybe not in every circumstance. But with the demographic that we live in, there is a real need for emotional support. I want us to be able to have a space where we can really support young families and especially young mums. You know, I think it's going to be really important and integral for us to be meeting need in the community for us to do that. I love hearing about what Rachel's doing with Out of the Nest and all of the stuff that she's learned about the need across the mountains. And so I'd love for us to be able to be hands and feet in that area, right? For us to be the body of Jesus, representation of Jesus in those areas. Amen? So we're going to work towards that over the next 5 years. And spiritually, we actually really bless our local community. Did you know in a rainforest, did you know that rainforest trees create rain? Like they create an environment for there to be rain. So a rainforest necessitates a rainforest type of weather, and it produces it. And what happens is these big giant trees grow up, and they have these giant kind of canopies, and they cover everything, and it creates this kind of humid, dense environment that creates a very moist environment. And I'm probably explaining this pretty poorly because I'm not a person who studies that is. But in the same way, as a church worships their God, they bless their community around them. We create an environment and atmosphere in the Blue Mountains. Remember, Paul tells us we're not battling against flesh and blood up here. We're battling against principalities and powers. And Jesus, when he declared war, it wasn't against Rome or Caesar, as maybe the Jews would have expected. It was against the gates of hell. And so when we worship God up here, when we put him first, when we encourage one another, which, by the way, is worshiping God, let me tell you, if you encourage Megan and you help her out, you're helping me, okay? And we, as the bride of Christ, the church, when you help the church, you're helping Jesus. And so we worship him as we do all of that. And as we do that, it spiritually blesses those around us. Let me tell you, this school must be so blessed. I've heard stories of how blessed this school is, but let me tell you, they must be so blessed. They must have been spewing during the time of COVID when we were not here, because they were not receiving the blessing that it means to house the church of God as we worship him. They're probably praying against us getting a building. Well, they should be. You know, back to that thing about us supporting one another. It's really important, one of the ways that we do that we serve. It's really important that we contribute to the community of God. Everyone is a contributor to the community of God. And if you're sitting here going, oh yes, except for me, because in your head, right? I want to tell you a story. There was someone in our family who was very unwell. It got to the point where, like, getting up out of bed was incredibly hard, right? And so every Monday night, we do family dinner, and it's just been a tradition in our house. You are not allowed over. I'm sorry. It is family only, and we do dinner together. It's a big extended thing, and it is chaos because we have a lot of young children there. But one thing that happens is that everyone gets up and they wash up after dinner. Mum usually or Dad does the cooking, and everyone else kind of gets up and they wash up, and half the crowd are bathing children, and the other half are washing dishes. And anyway, this member of the family could not do that. They were just too unwell to be able to get up and do that. And so what they would do as their contribution to the family is that they'd slide up the table to where Grandma and Granddad were seated, and they would have really intentional conversations with them. And that's what it looked like for them to support the family. And so, church, if you're sitting in the crowd right now and you're going, I can't be on a roster, you're thinking of serving wrong. We'd love for you to be on a roster. That is one way you can serve. You also serve when you go up to the mums who are having a really hard day and go, it gets better. You're also serving when you go up to people over a coffee and you start telling them about how God's worked through you that week, what God's been speaking to you about. There are ways that you can work in our church and serve one another as we serve each other that don't involve a roster. You can stand at the top of those stairs there and welcome everyone that comes through, and I'm not going to put you on a roster for it. I don't roster welcome intentionally because I want us to have a welcoming culture. You can find the mum who just looks so stressed out because the kids are running amok and just give them a second while you talk to their kids. Can I tell you, that's so valuable when you do that. One of my favorite things about our youth is how much they love our kids. Like my kids, I'm really sorry to our youth because they just get asked to chase me, like all morning. There are ways that we serve one another. And the church, we all serve. And whether you're in a season where that just looks like giving encouragement, or whether you're in a season where that looks like you getting here early and helping set up, I don't care. Just help serve, help contribute, help be a part of that. You know, I'm really passionate about us getting a building. One of the reasons why I'm really passionate about us getting a building is because that'll be a really significant step to us becoming our own church. And we've been talking about that becoming a reality sometime over the coming years. And I think in almost every way, we're ready for that to happen, except for us getting a building with Hawkesbury's backing is just going to be so much easier. And so, you know, we love Strong Nation. We're a part of Strong Nation. We are Strong Nation. Like, it's in our DNA. But at some point, we're going to go off on our own into autonomous church land. And we'll keep connection with Hawkesbury. But in order for us to do that, we need to be strong. And so as I'm, you know, week one, we're looking back. This week, we're looking forward. As I'm looking forward to what that means for our church, that's what we're working towards right now. And you know what we'll do as soon as we reach that moment? Our next step is, where are we planting a church? Because if we're not planting churches, we're not blessing families and communities that aren't being blessed. We uniquely reach people in Springwood that the Springwood Baptist Church don't. I'm friends with the Springwood Baptist Church pastor. I love him. He's awesome. We get along really well. But there are people they don't reach that we can. And there are people that we don't reach that they can. Let me tell you, our community needs us. And when we plant another church, that community will need us too. You know, ultimately, our mission is the same as every church on the face of the earth. Matthew 28, 18. When Jesus tells his disciples that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, so go and make disciples. Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't say all authority on heaven and earth has been given to you, so go and make disciples? He's like, I've got everything I need. Now you go do it. It's because we're Jesus. We are the representation of Jesus. We're his body. Paul teaches us that we are the body of Christ. And we have everything we need when he's with us. Just quickly, I want to go over, I don't want today to go too late. I want to go over three things that I'd love for us to build a culture of over the next couple of years. We're going to spend, especially this year and next year, really dedicated to creating a really strong and protecting a really strong culture in our church. The first one is this, that we love each other. You know, I just talked before about how we'd serve one another on a service. That's what that looks like. We love each other. We're in each other's homes. We care about each other. We know what's going on. We know if little Timmy played soccer yesterday or he didn't. The second thing that I really want to create a culture of is being Holy Spirit led. It is so easy for us to do church without the Holy Spirit. It's not actually church, but we call it that. And it's so easy for us to do that and forget to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so another culture that I really want to set and protect in our church is that we are Holy Spirit led. We don't just love each other. We also are led by the Holy Spirit. And those two things go hand in hand really well. I want us to have a culture of what is God speaking to you about at the moment? And you have to think about one of the things that God is speaking to you about at the moment. Wouldn't it be great if everyone here knew what God was speaking to them about in this season that they're in right now and ready to share it? Holy Spirit led. The third thing that I'd love for us to set a culture of is that we all share the mission. You know, the mission for our church this year is not to go out into our community and go and make a big difference. I'm really keen for us to do that. We're going to get there, okay? But as I said before, we need to be strong. And I don't think we've reached a place of strength that I'd like to reach before we're going to be able to do that really effectively. I think that's probably going to burn us out if we don't reach the place of strength that we're ready for. And so right now, our mission for this year and next year is simple: to build really strong relationships with one another and to build the context of family in our church. I've been talking about that for probably the last 18 months. And I'm sorry if it's getting old, but we're going to build the context of family in our church. You know, I've been huddling a group of people within our church, and we've been basically working towards the mission of having a strong church. And they are going to, once we've kind of completed what I want to complete this year, are going to go out and huddle others within this church. And our mission is this church. You know, you've probably heard the terminology of huddles. We're talking about that. In the Strong 1 week, what a huddle is and what the importance of is in it. One of the other key things that we use are works. I don't know if we've talked much about works before. A work for Jesus. Remember how Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers? A work is doing the work of Jesus, right? Doing the work of the harvest. And what is the work of Jesus? Well, it's going and making disciples, okay? And so a work for us is going out and finding people that are interested in what we have to say and discipling them. Finding the people that Jesus has set aside for us to disciple and discipling them. And so right now, our church are going to be doing works within our church. Eventually, that's going to start spreading out and overflowing into our community, but our church needs it right now. And so the work of our church this year and probably most of next year is going to be working inside our church, creating discipling relationships, and being more like Jesus. We're going to be strong. You know, another way that we share the mission together is that we do that in our services together, and we serve one another. We do that through discipling relationships with one another. We do that financially too. This year we had Adam come up a few weeks ago and preach about money and giving and all things kind of giving in church, and it was great. If you haven't listened to that, go have a listen to the podcast, or even better yet, go have a listen to his podcast where he breaks it down for longer and probably in more detail. This year we wanted to really put some clarity around the giving of our church. We don't want there to be this kind of ambiguity with like, how is my money being spent? Where's it going? All that sort of thing. So we wanted to clarify what that's going to look like. And so we've got three ways that you can give. Kenan, can we get that slide up on the screen there? So we have three ways you can give. And if you know much about our church, we love a good shape. And so we're going to use the triangle. The three ways that you can give are up there, and it's up, in, and out, which is common terminology that we often use. It's a part of the way that we worship God, is that we give with our money. It's a worship to God. Remember, I said a few weeks ago that Jesus teaches us you cannot serve both God and money. And so the first way that you can give is up, and we're calling that tithing because that's the terminology that we've used for a long, long, long time. Although Adam talked about how you're not required by the law to give 10%. You're not under a curse if you don't give 10%. That's got nothing to do with why we call it tithing, and it doesn't even have to be 10%. But this is money that we give to God to say, God, we serve you. Can we have the oh, look at you. You're so ahead of me. Give it up for Kenan. So our tithing or our upgiving we use for things like paying pastors or paying other staff members. We use this for paying our bills, our rent here. If our keyboard were to die, we could buy a new keyboard. All of that sort of stuff. The second way that we can give is through seeding in. So our seeding in, we've used the terminology seeding before. He who provides seed to the sower, there's that verse. Our seeding in is providing basically the continued growth of our church. I would consider a building offering as a type of seeding in, because it's like the development of us as a church here. And so parts of our seeding in are improving our ministry facilities, purchasing new buildings like Everton House or wherever God leads us, hiring more staff if we need to, developing new areas of ministry. We're really passionate about developing this Strong Nation Academy. And that's going to, we've had Strong Nation Academy before. It's currently closed down. It's going to look different when it reopens. Some of the things that we want to do with that is like provide free tutoring for kids who need tutoring through school to help them get through school. Other things that we want to do with that is like teaching kids how to operate the live stream so that they can learn some practical skills about camera work and all of the technology stuff that drives our heads in. On top of that, we have servicing the needs for the people in our church. Things like sponsoring Forever Free tickets. All of that sort of stuff, that's all of our seeding in. We're seeding into our church and the development of what we do as a church. And then there's seeding out. And seeding out, we're going to really cover in depth next week when we talk about Strong Nation, because we're talking about what it looks like for the fulfillment of the promise of Abraham when he says you're going to be a strong nation and how that looks. But basically, the seeding out is the giving out towards the mission of what we're doing. And so that would look like, we have Cambodia. We've supported Cambodia for a long time, Strong Village. All those sort of things that we support with our Frontiers giving would fall into the out bucket. Our chaplaincy, our community services, all that sort of stuff fall into our out bucket. And there's more stuff that I haven't mentioned. But we wanted to clear this up because we wanted our giving to be really clear and on the front page. And if you have any questions about, where your money goes or how it's spent or anything like that, you can talk to me. We have a board member up here in David, and if you have any questions, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer those as well. We want to be above board with all of the things that we do with our money, because I recognize it's really important. And if we're going to be a strong church, we need to be strong financially as well. Amen. So what does the world need? And what does Jesus want? The world needs a strong church. The world needs Mountains Church to be strong. Our local Mountains area needs Mountains Church to be strong. Hawkesbury needs Mountains to be strong. Our future church plants will need Mountains to be strong. And the church that Jesus wants is a really strong church. And so, church, I'm really excited about where God's leading us this year as we look forward and go, God, what do you want to do with us? God, what does it look like for us to be an autonomous church? God, what does it look like for us to have a building, and how do we use that to serve the community that we're in? God, how do we love each other radically? Like, what is it, Ellen, I'm so glad you shared that verse, and I shared it in our prayer meeting this morning. God's been speaking to me about that Jesus said, they will know that you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. I mean, this is why we want to create a culture and protect a culture where we love one another. It means we're not bagging on each other behind each other's backs. We're not throwing each other under the bus. We're not apathetic about each other's struggles. We really do love one another. And I think we do okay at that. I think we can do fantastic at that. And so I want to challenge you, church, and encourage you, church. Let's be the church that love one another. Amen. I'm really excited about this year. And I think God's got great things in store for us this year. I think next year's Vision Sunday or month, I don't know what we're going to do yet, is going to be, we're going to be in a completely different place to where we are now. We're in a good place now. We're going to be in an even better place next year. And we're going to say, look what God is doing in us. These will be the years that we look back on in 10, 15 years' time and go, God did amazing things with us. When we're committed to one another, we're committed to the mission, God can do amazing things through us. And all it takes is for us to be Holy Spirit-led. Little yes in our heart to say, Holy Spirit, whatever you want, it's a yes. The church the world needs is a strong church. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our church. God, we thank you for the last 10 years of awesome growth and stability. And God, we pray over our next 10 years to come. God, we pray that they'd be stronger than ever. Lord, would we look back in 10 years' time and go, wow, God did amazing things with us. God, would you help us to love one another just as you loved us? God, would you help us to be Holy Spirit-led? We thank you for your Spirit, the presence of your Spirit with us as we walk every day. God, would you speak to us so clearly that we know what you're talking about? And God, we pray for the mission ahead as we make our church feel like a family. And God, we pray that you would bless that, make it happen quicker than we could have expected. Lord, we thank you for the promise in Isaiah 60:22, the Lord will hasten it in its time. And prophetically, I speak over our church, it's time. And God, we pray that you would make it happen according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.